Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Vegas, welcome to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name is John Racine with the Church of Las Vegas. So glad that you have tuned in again this morning. Hey, I wanted to start off this broadcast with this little filler. Yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Today is all the cash you have. Spend it wisely. I like that. Spend wisely the gift that you've been given. And that's our life. That's time. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." And that's what we've been striving to do here on this broadcast since the very beginning of it when Daryl Raymond first started it way back in the 70s. And we continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ and the good news that He died, that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day. Because you see, that's God's righteousness. That's God's plan of salvation. Is not by our righteousness, but through His. And we've been talking about forgiveness, that we all need forgiveness. And I hope we've made that abundantly clear. And we'll continue to remind us that we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all violated His laws, His righteousness. We've all separated ourselves from fellowship with Him because of our sin. And so we need Him to save us. And He made that possible. He loved us so much through the Lord Jesus Christ, He makes it possible for us to live again. Thank God for His awesome salvation. And so when it comes to forgiveness, it's not something that we can do to forgive ourselves. We talked about that last time. You can't forgive yourself. You can't forgive yourself. And so you and I need to make sure that rather than thinking we can do that, we need to know that our guilt and the penalty for our sin has been taken away. And we can know that through faith in the promises of God. When God says He's taken away that burden from us, when God says the penalty's paid, no more penalty for you, when He says through My Son and the blood He shed, that you can know that you have eternal life. We talked all about that last time. And so I just want you to know as we start the program off again that our God is mighty to save. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, He's not your God. And if you're listening this morning and you feel that way, that God doesn't exist or God can't forgive you because, you know, he doesn't know how bad you've been. Yes, He does. He knows every single one of us very intimately. He's still willing to forgive you. He still was willing to let His own Son die for you on the cross. And so I hope you're not saying that, you know, I'm too wicked. I'm too bad. You just don't know my story. Well, I might not, but God does, friend. And He wants you to know that He's mighty to save. You don't have to save yourself, as it were. You need to respond to His salvation. And in that way, you will save yourself. Not by your own righteousness, but because you trust and put your hope in God's salvation through Jesus Christ. I want to listen to this first song this morning called Mighty to Save by Hillsong United, and just remember that God is so mighty to save our souls. Let's listen.
Thank you. she is.
All right, we're back this morning, and let's go on to another topic. We've very much established the fact that God can and wants to forgive us, and that he does when we will accept his grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, when we'll believe those truths, when those truths will cause us to repent about our sin, about our relationship with God, when we're willing to confess the Lord Jesus as the Lord and as our Savior, and not just as some swear word, and when we're willing to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. My son Stephen last Sunday night did a great job teaching us about the Great Commission and the different parts of us. And Jesus told his apostles to go into all the world and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so baptism is a very easy response of faith to God's grace when you understand his promises. Again, Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And that is such a great verse of scripture to remind us that, just like Titus says over in Titus chapter 3 and verse 4, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And friends, when you in faith were baptized into Christ, the Holy Spirit came and regenerated you. It didn't have anything to do with the water. It was your faith in the power of God who raised Jesus from the dead. And so we've talked about those things, and we'll continue to bring those things up over and over, because it's so important that not only we understand how we responded to God's grace, but so that we can teach others. But let's talk about something else. We've talked about that we can be sure of our salvation because of God's promises, but we need to recognize that it's not just a one-time response. It's not just a one-time response to God's grace and say, hey, thanks God for saving me, and thanks Jesus for dying on the cross for me, and sure, I want eternal life, and so sure, I'll believe that you did that. But then go right on living the way you always have. There's no repentance in that. There's just a, I want what I want, and I don't really care about God's will. We need to understand that before we make that decision of faith, before we trust in God's grace and say, I want to be a follower of Jesus, we need to count the cost, because it's something that we need to do for the rest of our lives. Okay? Just like marriage is supposed to be a lifetime commitment between one man and one woman, that you stay together for the rest of your life. What God has joined together, let not man separate. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 19, have you not read at the beginning that God made them male and female? Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And so, just like a marriage commitment, except in a whole much bigger way, when we say, Jesus, I'm going to commit my life to you and I'm going to follow you, we need to continue to do that for the rest of our life. Not because we have to, but because we want to. Because we want to walk in God's love. Because we want to walk in God's mercy and God's forgiveness. Because we want to show the world the difference that having Jesus in our life makes. And if we choose not to do that, then really what we're doing is We're spitting in the face of God. We're slapping Jesus in the face and saying, your sacrifice didn't really mean that much to me because I just want to keep being the king of my own life. I just want to keep doing what I want to do. And so I want you to know that this walk of faith is one that continues. We're saved by grace through faith, just like Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, and we continue to be saved by grace through faith. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. Colossians 1, 21. Paul, as an apostle, writes, and he says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if, verse 23 starts off, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope that is held out in the gospel. You see, Paul, as an apostle of Jesus, by the prompting or moving of the Holy Spirit to write these things, says that we were alienated from God once, but now we have been brought near again and presented in his sight as holy and without blemish and free from accusation if we continue in faith. Okay, if we continue in faith, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. Well, what's the hope held out in the gospel? Well, the hope held out in the gospel is the righteousness of God through Jesus, his son. Not by our own righteousness, not by our own goodness, not by good works that we might boast about those. No, but putting our hope and our trust in the gospel, the hope held out in the gospel that God loved you and I so much that he sent his son to pay the penalty for my sin. That's amazing. That is amazing grace, folks. But how would you feel if you did something wonderful for someone? You know, you saved their life or you rescued them from some real dilemma that they were in. And sure, they were thankful for, you know, a couple of hours or even a day or even a week or so. But how would you feel afterwards if, you know, they got sick and tired of you and they just said, oh, you know, what you did was no big deal and anybody would have done that. And so, you know, I'm just going to go my own way. And pretty soon they get so tired of thinking about what you did for them and the debt that you, you know, paid for them and everything that they don't even want to be around you because you make them feel bad. You make them feel guilty that they're not being good enough towards you. We don't want to be like that. We want to be people that continue in faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. Because you see, if we get moved off of the hope held out in the gospel, there is no hope. There is no salvation. There is no life. There is no forgiveness. And so if we want to continue to stand in grace and continue to be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ, to be able to be in fellowship with God, we must continue to hold on to God's righteousness in Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes people think that the longer that they live for Christ and once they start getting a track record and once they start doing a lot of good things, that's why they're going to be saved. Now, you'll never be saved by your own goodness, and I won't either, even after you've became a Christian. Hey, because there's plenty of things in our life that God could point at and say, you know, the wages of sin is death. Hey, but because we continue to hold on to Jesus Christ and because we continue to, in our faith, established and firm, not move from the hope held out in the gospel, we do have hope. Listen to what he wrote to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. He says, now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received and on which you have taken your stand. So in writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 1, Paul says, listen, Corinthians, I know what I preached to you, and you've taken your stand on the gospel. And he says in verse 2, by this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you've believed in vain. Okay, so Listen, there is the possibility and potential, friends, that you can begin to believe, that you can start trusting, but then you can stop. You can quit trusting in the blood of Jesus. You can quit trusting in the grace of God. You could get arrogant and proudful and think that it's by your own righteousness that you can be saved, in which case you believed in vain. And so, boy, nobody wants to be in that situation. But I'll tell you what, this is why it's so important to count the cost, to say, Jesus is worth it. Everlasting life is worth it. I don't want to die. I don't want to be away from the author of life for all eternity. I want life. I choose life, not death. I choose eternal life, not eternal punishment. I want to be saved by the power of the gospel, and I want you to be saved by the power of the gospel. And so the only way that we can be saved is by grace through faith. And the only way we continue to be saved is by grace through faith. Now, somebody says, well, what if we blow it along the way? What if we get arrogant? What if we get proud? Well, here's what I can say in Romans chapter 11. That's exactly where the Jews were. That's exactly where the Jews were. They rejected their Messiah. They rejected God's righteousness through him. And as it happened, using the example of an olive tree in Romans, Paul said that they were broken off in verse 20 of Romans 11. They were broken off because of unbelief. And you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God, sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. You know, I want you to understand that we need to continue to respond to God's grace through faith. We need to continue to believe, because if we become unbelievers in our minds or in our actions, in our speech, in our behavior, then, wow, we also can be cut off from God's amazing salvation. Now, some people don't like to think about that. Sometimes people like to think, hey, once you're saved, you're always saved. Well, I guess you're going to have to cut this chapter out of the Bible. And I guess you're going to have to cut 1 Corinthians 15 out of the Bible. And I guess you're going to have to cut Colossians 1 and lots of other places that says, yes, the potential is there to fall away. There is the potential there to quit living by faith. There is the potential to reject God's grace. Now, there's no reason for it other than you just get it in your mind or head that you can't trust God anymore. And Satan loves to try to put those doubts in people's minds, either through some loved one's death or a job loss or financial woe or a sickness. And instead of trusting God, people blame God. And then they turn away from the only salvation that God's provided. Friends, I hope that's not you. I hope you haven't been blaming God for anything. I hope that there's no bitterness in your soul toward God, because God just loves you. And he wants you to be saved. We're going to listen to our next song. This is a song by Mercy Me called So Long Self. And maybe that's what you need to do this morning. Say, so long, self. I'm going to serve Jesus instead for the rest of my life. Let's listen.
Well, if I come across a little bit distant, it's just because I am. Things just seem to feel a little bit different, you understand. Believe it or not, but life is not apparently about me anyways. But I have met the one who really is worthy, so let me say, so long, self. Well, it's been fun, but I have found somebody else. So long, self, there's just no room for two. So you are gonna have to move. So long, self, don't take this one. simplifies on me for wanting something more in life than all of this. Oh, can't you see? So long, Chef. Well, it's been fun, but I have found somebody else. So long, Chef. There's just no room for two. So you are gonna have to move. So long, Chef. Don't take this run with you. I'll run for me. Farewell, oh well, goodbye, don't cry. Oh, so long, don't.
Time this week, and so I hope that you and I will continue to say so long, self, and hello, Jesus, because he is Lord and Savior and giver of life, and in him we can have everlasting life. Hey, come and meet with us at the Church at Las Vegas, if you would. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. We'd love to get to know you a little bit. We'd love to listen to your questions, your concerns about life, your struggles with faith, whatever it might be. We want to be there to help as much as we can. And so come on by and join us Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, or Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We have Bible study and prayer. We'd love to get to know you a little bit better. And so come on by 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. You can also find us online at thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com, and there you can even ask questions or let us know about things over a link that will go right to our email, and so you can contact us that way. So again, just remember that God's salvation is a salvation by grace through faith, but it needs to continue to be a salvation by grace through faith. We need to continue to trust in the living God. And next week we'll start talking about, well, what if I don't do that? What if I stumble? What if I fall? What do I do then? And those are all important things. And so we want to address those issues starting next week, Lord willing. Hey, have a great week and keep standing on the solid rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.